What I want to do today is read about the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to read about it, and then I'll make some comments about it. So let's do a lot of reading. If you get your Bible, you might could benefit by looking at it with me. If you don't, that'll be okay if you don't do that. Sometimes people just like to listen and don't like to do that. But I'm going to go to the places in the Scriptures in Matthew and Luke to talk about the birth of the Son of God, and then I'm going to make some comments about that. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And by the way, I'm going to pass these out on either side too. But I got plenty of these. I can make them if you want to. What this is, if you want to just take a look at it, if anybody wants to take them home, or even I'll email them to you. It's a map, a description of the journey that Joseph and Mary took down from Galilee to Bethlehem. It's pretty interesting. It's a long, hard journey. Youngest pastor, I got two for each side. I don't care if you look at them while I'm talking, as long as you listen to me. And I got plenty more of these if you want them. But it's amazing, the journey they took was probably 80 or 90 miles. There are two possible routes they took. The Bible doesn't say which route they did take. But either the trade route or the Jordan River route, which is, I think they probably went the Jordan River route. But it's a hard journey. Think about Mary now being with child, about to have a baby. You sisters can understand that who have babies, how hard it is anyway. It's a long, hard journey. Probably took about 8 or 9 days. It's probably about 90 miles. They could only make about 10 miles a day. They probably were in a caravan because it was the only safe way to go, the way travel was in those days. So it's an amazing thing to think about. The real human beings, just a young woman, Mary, highly favored of God, her husband who loved her and stood by her even though things were difficult. And they had to go down there, as you know, because God ordained that they get in there. And babies come when their time comes. Y'all all know that, don't you? Some of y'all had to go in the middle of the night and get to the hospital, right? So God knew when this baby had to come to fulfill prophecy. He controlled every detail of that. They got in there just in time for that baby to be born. Who is our Savior? Who's our Savior? So that's why we sing these songs, Joy to the World. We ought to be singing Joy to the World, shouldn't we? So anyway, it's a great time. So let's think about this and pray about this. You've got to give us a fresh vision of the birth of the blessed Son of God. What a great thing. You know, we can get used to that. But I hope we don't ever get used to that. Hope is always a great blessing. So what a mystery. What a mystery. That God broke into history. 2,000 years ago, God Almighty broke into history. See, the world hates his guts. They really do, the true God, the true Christ. Always have hated him. They hated him when he was here, didn't they? The only man who ever lived a perfect life. Only man who always had a perfect attitude. Never said one word wrong. Never left off any word that should have been said. Never had a wrong facial expression. Think about that. Never had a wrong facial expression. Never had an attitude. You think the loveliest man who ever lived. That's the truth. He's the lily of the valley. The road was Sharon, the fairest among 10,000. And the world hated him so bad. They spit in his face. They slapped him. They jerked the hair out of his face. They crucified him. They hated his guts. If you love him, because he first loved you. And you better thank God about that. And don't you want to love him more? Don't you want to? I want to love him more. I don't love him near like I ought to. I want to love him more. If I love him, I'm going to be a bigot to him. You can talk all day long how much you love him. Go ahead, carry on a big conversation. Oh, I love the Lord. You ain't living right. You ain't proving it. You're loving. You think about that. I hope some people convicted today, including myself. If you're not loving him with all your heart, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And you know, over in the Church of Revelation, I mean, of Ephesus and Revelation, they've done a lot of good things. They're doing more good things than Grace Chapel's doing. They have better church discipline. They had more able ministers, done all kind of good stuff. God bragged about them. He said, hold it, though. You got a fatal flaw. You left your first love. If you don't recover that first love, I'm going to come remove your candlestick. God's not interested in your halfway service. He's not interested in you just giving him a tip of the hat on Sunday morning and say, howdy, Lord. Give him the rest of the week. He wants your service, my folks. He wants your honeymoon love. So I hope today God will help us to have some of that honeymoon love and get started up again, don't you? All right, let's read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And let God preach this sermon here. I'll be trying to be his spokesman, but I want him to preach the sermon to you today. If we read his holy word, make it real to your hearts, okay? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When it says Mother Mary was espoused, engaged, which is a stronger engagement than we have today. It's almost like getting married. You just hadn't come together yet. It's a legal thing. To Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That was a big shock when Joseph found out that she was pregnant. But he thought she'd been unfaithful to him. And by the way, when he did marry her, probably a lot of people say, ha-ha, y'all had a premarital relationship. He had to put up with that, no doubt. So Joseph was quite a man, wasn't he? God knew what to do. A quiet man, know a whole lot about him. Man who worked with his hands, just a good old simple carpenter, probably a pretty skilled carpenter. He was not his father. God was his father, but still, Joseph, God knew what to do, didn't he? Get married such a good man. I like to be like Joseph. Not big, flashy guy, just good old faithful Joseph. That's the kind of guy I'd like to be. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, he loved her, he hated what happened, he thought, I got to divorce her, but I'm going to do it as quiet as I can because I love her. I hate what's, it hurt me bad what's happened here. It hurt me real bad what happened here, but I'm going to do the best I can. My friend, if you got something against somebody, act like Joseph did, will you? Even if they hurt you bad. Forgive them, shoot. Look how much God's forgiven you. He was hurt. He thought she had been unfaithful to him. He was cut to the soul. He could have said, I'll get you. I'll get back at you. I get revenge. You hurt me. That's not what Joseph did. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Then he got some great news. You know, you think about this. You think something bad is going to happen to you and you dread things? Don't be that way. Trust God, okay? Some of the worst things you think are going to happen to you may be some of the best things that ever did happen to you under God's providence. You remember Jacob? One time he said, all these things are against me. Remember that? Joseph is gone. All these things are against me. All things are working for him. Not immediately, he couldn't tell it, but Joseph was down there to save his skin from starving to death. And he went down to Egypt. So all the things you think are bad, why don't you trust the Lord? And believe what Romans 8:28 says, he works all things for good to them that love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. Why don't we just trust God? We flash off too quick, don't we? Oh, this is bad. I do that all the time. What an idiot I am. God, are you in control or not? Remember what I told you one time? Go ahead and go to sleep. God got the night shift. He's also got the day shift, by the way. That don't make you lazy, but it makes you trust him. Oh, look at this good news. Oh, look at this good news. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee to be thy wife. For therefore she conceived in her to the Holy Ghost. And I love verse 21. You young people, listen to me. When I was your age, some of you get a little bitty guys, I heard this preached at Marshall Moore, Prairie Baptist Church, by E.C. Holder, and it locked me on the doctrine of grace. Are you ready for this, young people? Three shalls in here, and all of them are equal in strength. She shall bring forth a son. Did she bring forth a son? She did. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Did they? They did. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's also just as sure. That's why I'm an old Baptist. Because we believe that the Lord God saved everyone that he intended to save all his people, all the elect. I love that verse when I was a kid. I love it now. I knew there was something different about that than what a lot of people preach. I do not serve a would-be Savior. I don't serve a disappointed Savior who's going to lose a lot of people because they won't cooperate. I serve a successful Savior who's going to save all his people from their sins. Hope that's the one you're serving. Now, all this was done, it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, this is just wonderful. My friend, how can you not believe in God? He's given prophecies and they've been fulfilled. Nobody can do it. Muhammad can't do that. The Hindus can't do that. The liberals can't do that. The psychics can't do that. Only God can do that, Richard. He says something's going to happen, and it's going to happen. Minute detail. Fulfilled prophecy. All this was spoken, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. This is Isaiah chapter 7. Saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name. Oh, this name is so good. It rolled off our tongue. Emmanuel. Isn't it good? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. I love that, don't you? Emmanuel. Oh, hail Emmanuel, we sing sometimes. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Now let me say something about that virgin birth, shall I? See, liberal scholars, which claim to be Christians, but they're not Christians. Can you listen, let me tell you something. You can't be a Christian if you don't believe the Bible. Can I say that again? You may claim to be a Christian, but you can't be a Christian if you don't believe the Bible. So you're calling God a liar. If you're born again, the same truth is right here, written in your heart by the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, the same truth that's written here is written right here by the Holy Spirit. So something inside you says amen. And you don't go around questioning it. But a lot of people who have THDs, that's a doctor of theology. Ooh, doctor of theology. They deny this. They say over in Isaiah 7, that word is young woman. And some of these modern translations have young woman in there. It can be translated young woman, but it can't possibly mean that. You know why? Because the Bible is its own best interpreter. And this word virgin over here in Matthew 1 only means virgin. It's not going to contradict what's in the Old Testament. So a virgin did conceive, and a virgin was a child. You can't be a Christian if you don't believe in the virgin birth. You may claim to be a Christian. You may be a liberal. And many, many people, my main line of denomination, don't believe in the virgin birth. You'll check it out if you want to get on Google. Lots and lots of so-called Christians don't believe in the virgin birth, but they're not Christians. They're not Christians. You got to believe in the virgin birth. Well, I don't get on a big tangent. But it's the truth. All right. Now, let's look now, Elbert and Luke. And let's look at several scriptures. Let's look over in chapter 1, first of all. Hope y'all are enjoying this. I'm enjoying reading the Bible to you today. It's just great. I'm glad it's not my words, but God's word, holy word. Isn't it good? All right, over here in Luke 1. First of all, let's look at verse 26 through 38. 26 through 38. Okay, let's start reading here. The sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth, who had a miraculous birth. Not a virgin birth, a miraculous birth. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel. Wow. An angel? A real angel? Yeah, a real angel. Man. Do you believe in angels? The Bible teaches angels. You got angels watching over you, by the way. God's Word says that. Probably you've been saved lots of times from a wreck or something because an angel intervened. I honestly believe this. I can't prove it. I believe an angel picked up on that disc that didn't kill Richard. I believe that. See, Jimmy Barber Daddy got killed the same way Richard almost got killed. I remember where I was the day they came and said, Cecil Barber's dead. He had the same thing happen to him, Richard, that tractor thing. He had hot-wired that cotton picker. And so the thing, it ran over him and killed him. It's a time to go. I believe that angel kind of, I believe I'm going to have a lift up here a little bit. I'm going to hurt Richard a little bit, but we ain't going to kill him this time. That's what I think happened. It's just that real, you know. this angel appeared, this messenger from God. This is a special angel. He was in God's presence all the time. Man, that must be nice. But I'm going to tell you something. It's better to be a child of God than to be an angel, though. We ought to really be shouting happy. See, angels can't sing the song of redemption. They weren't redeemed. But you can sing the song of redemption because you have been redeemed. Anyway, let's keep reading here. Okay, this angel came. I'll start reading verse 26 again. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Sent from God. My, my. Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, which was not a very good place to live, really. You know, one time said, can anything good come from Nazareth? To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation that should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. I hope we live in a way we can find favor with God. Don't y'all? And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, Jesus means Jehovah saves. That's what it means. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, by the way, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which will be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son her old age, and this is the sixth month of her, who is called barren. Now listen to this. For God, almost everything, wrong version. For God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, look at her wonderful attitude. Not understanding what's going on, and you don't understand sometimes, but you're going to be submissive to God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. Can't read it all. So I'm going to go to verse 46. Now, this is a sweet, 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 sweet scripture. This is Mary's song. And you know what they call? I love the word. I don't know Latin. I took a little Latin in high school. But this is called the Magnificat. Magnificat. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's a Latin word. Magnificat. It's a song of praise to God. I love this. The Magnificat. Let's read that. Verse 46 through 55, shall we? This is good stuff. And Mary said, Oh my. That's where they get the Latin word for this first clause. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Man, I wish my soul would do that. It does sometimes. That's why we ought to walk in fellowship with God. Our soul may magnify God. It's good when the Holy Ghost gets in your soul. You feel like praising God, isn't it? I don't always feel that way, folks. Sometimes I feel carnal, ungodly, cold as a piece of ice. I hate those kind of times. But I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes in there and blesses you, it's worth it all, isn't it, to serve God? Just one glimpse of Him in glory. Just one glimpse of Him right now shall all the toil of life repay. Let's walk close to Him. We can. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. All the things of earth shall appear strangely dim. The light of His glory and grace. You are jealous of old Bill Gates because he got out of all the world and has his own jets and stuff. Eat anything you want to. Got all kind of gadgets. You jealous? Well, you're crazy if you're jealous. I don't think he got what you got. Not only do you have an inheritance, what if you, this incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, but you have the earnest of that inheritance right now. The earnest of the inheritance. Like you're engaged now, you'll be married one of these days. Look up there, Christians. Remember what you got. Appreciate what you got. Thank God for insight. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth shall all generations call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He's still doing that today, folks. We worry about our government, who's over us. I pray about it all the time. But who's in control? God in control. He can bring down the biggest guy in the world if he wants to, anytime he wants to do it. I don't care who he is, emperor, king, dictator, you name it, president. He puts them up, he brings them down. We need to be praying all the time. We ought to trust him too, not get bent out of shape too bad. Who's in control of this thing anyway? Daniel 4:35 says, he does his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. Nobody can say his hand, said, what doest thou? That's our God. Believe on him, have some peace. Don't be like me sometime and quit believing on him and get all scared. Had to repent of that. He hath filled thee hungry with good things. The rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoping, that means help. That's no good old-timey English word. His servant, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever, and Mary abode with her, that is, lived about 3 months, and returned to her own house. I would like to have been a fly on the wall, would you? Here's Elizabeth had this experience, and Mary had this experience. And even when they came to each other's presence, the baby, John the Baptist, jumped for joy in his mother's womb. I would like to have been a fly on the wall. But I believe some of you today, God probably let us have that conversation here, don't you? You have forever to walk up and say, Mary, tell me about that. It's just that real, folks. Anybody you want to talk to in the Bible, you'll be able to do it. I'm going to talk to Abraham one of these days. You believe it? I believe that. You believe it? If you don't, why not? You'll have forever. Now, you have to stand in line with the Apostle Paul about 1 million years, probably. That's okay. You got 1 million years. It's that real, folks. Hallelujah. That's what Claudia's enjoying right now. That's what Laura's enjoying right now. That's what Tony Beckman's enjoying right now. That's what I'm looking forward to enjoying pretty soon, one of these days. It's just that real. Hallelujah! Because of the Son of God being born into this world. God breaking into history. Bearing the sin of his children, his people. Living a perfect life for my sake and your sake. Shoot. It's the gospel is true. Now let's read a little bit more from Luke. Verse 2, chapter 2. Now you know what? I can remember being a young person. Kids, you know, used to in our country, we're more godly than we are now. At least hourly. I went to White Station School for 3 years. And I still remember being a kid, because I left there in the third grade, out in the great big foyer that had a gigantic family Bible out there. Ain't that something in a public school? That's how it ought to be today. It's not. And around this time of the year, they always open it up to chapter 2. I remember the kid going and reading this in school, White Station High School, or grammar school, and reading this and just rejoicing in this. I'm going to rejoice in it today as I read. Oh, so, okay. Chapter 2, let's read it. This is the sweet language of the world. I'll read verse 1 through 20. 1 through 20. Ah, this is good. And it came to pass in those days, that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Aha, big old Caesar. He thinks he's sovereign. He needs some money. He wants a census to be taken so he can get more money. He's a big old proud king. He thinks he rules this world. He's a big emperor. But guess who he really is? He's just a pawn in God's hand. That's all he is. Because God got a job to do. Let me tell you about that job. Let's think about this a minute. God got a task to perform, and he's going to get it done too. Jesus Christ was born when God wanted him to be born at the place he wanted to be born. It prophesied where he would be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. And let me tell you when it happened. According to Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time has come, the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his son, born, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that was under the law. All right? Now you think about it. Let's make like we're an angel here. Let's just make like we're an angel. We're sitting up in heaven watching this thing. We're getting kind of excited. We know prophecy. We know this. Jesus Christ had got to be born at Bethlehem at a certain time. But how's that going to happen? They're up here. They're in Nazareth. 90 miles away. My friend, his gestation, his nativity, just like any woman, set a certain time, about 9 months. How in the world can we get him down there to be born at the right time? Well, God's got a plan. There's no such thing as email, no such thing as electricity, no such thing as long as the telephone. And there's a guy over here in Rome who thinks he rules the world. His name is Caesar Augustus. He sends out a decree at a certain time that the whole world should be taxed. That decree had to get there on some kind of a ship, probably. No motor on the ship. Down to the place, and then the word got to get to these different places. And David, Joseph was the house lineage of David. He got to go down to his hometown down there to get taxed. And they get on this donkey, and they get in this caravan, and get there just right in time. Who is controlling things? He's still doing it today. Isn't that beautiful? The sovereignty of God, my friend, in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a great story. It came to pass in those days that when I decreed from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. That's the house of bread. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life, right? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. A baby born, just like born to any woman. Natural birth. Not natural conception, by the way, but natural birth. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There's no room for him in the inn. My friend, he came in here poor. He left here poor. As far as men are concerned, he came into it, born in a stable and buried in a borrowed tomb. So if you're kind of poor, he knows how to sympathize with you. He knows how to sympathize with you. He touched the thing of your infirmities. Ah. I'm glad. You know, God said one time over there in Matthew, he said, Father, Jesus Christ said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, he said, you have hidden these things. The wise and the prudent have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so saying good in thy sight. He's still doing that today. I hope I'd be one of those babes he revealed himself to. The Sanhedrin courts, the big wheels, the other PhDs, they're sitting over in Jerusalem. He didn't appear to them. The despised class with old shepherds. That may seem like a glamorous life, but not glamorous at all. It's a smelly life, a hard life. They had to watch those little sheep, lose a lot of sleep, be tired, dangerous fighting those old wolves and stuff. Low class. That's who God appeared to. Look at this. They're in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. They weren't expecting this. Look what's going to happen. They weren't expecting this. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord, man, that must have been something, shone round about them. They were so afraid. I'd have been afraid too. And the angel said unto them, fear not. That's what God said to his children. I want to say to you tonight, fear not, folks. Fear not. Fear not circumstances. Fear not the world. Only fear God. And that's a filial fear. That's a loving fear. Don't be afraid. We're all afraid too much. Fear not. That's what Jesus Christ said all the time. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's a good one. Good tidings, but not just joy, great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, my, what a scene this must have been. This sounds like some out of Revelation almost, doesn't it? In heaven, a heavenly scene. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, I'd like to have heard that, wouldn't you? Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, that they had heard and seen, as told unto them. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's make a few comments about all this. I want to tell you, I got this from probably John Gill. Let me just talk, this is what you call the incarnation. The birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation. What does that mean? That just means he became man. He became a human being. Now, I'm not going to get into all the theology of this right now. You can read whole books on this. I will be accurate, but God, my friend, he took on himself a human nature. I give scripture in a few minutes. Well, I give some right now. Let's look at that a little bit. Over in John 1, remember that? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was nothing made that was made, right? That's God. What does it say in verse 14? The Word, what did what? Became flesh. Dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there's all kinds of scriptures on this, but I'm not going to get a lot of theology today. I just believe the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus Christ is a God-man. Not two persons, one person, two natures, divine and human. That's really incomprehensible. And I'll give you a scripture to show you that in just a minute. But I believe it. You know why I believe it? It's written in my heart, written in the Bible. I believe the Bible because it's written in the Bible. I believe that. Understand it? Don't understand it fully. Let me read you about this doctrine now, the incarnation. Let me tell you what it is. The incarnation is the wonderful truth that the eternal Son of God became man. That he was born of a pure virgin. That this was brought about by the power of the Holy Ghost. This was done for the redemption and salvation of the elect. It's mysterious and incomprehensible. And is to be believed and embraced only because it had been given by divine revelation. The incarnation of the Son of God is a doctrine of pure revelation. What does that mean, pure revelation? You can't figure it out. God had to reveal it to you. That's what they're talking about. See, some people say, if I can't put something in a test tube and test it, I won't believe it. But my friend, revelation is something that's just revealed to you. You cannot analyze it. You can't, it's not empirical. It's beyond that. See, some people are such fools, if they get figured out, they won't have it. But there are a lot of things we can't figure out. Don't be a fool like that. Be one who believes what God's Word says. This is not blind faith. It's faith based on the Word of God. Okay? Let me give you a verse on that. It's incomprehensible. I'm just going to quote part of a verse. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It says some other things. That's all I want right now. Let me do it to you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery is something that hadn't been revealed yet. God was manifest in the flesh. All right? Now, another point I want to make is this. Over there, the incarnation is really the very foundation of the gospel. Let's look those verses again over there in Luke chapter 2. Two verses. Because this is a definition of the gospel. This is a definition of the gospel. So I'm going to read you these two verses. Now this is good. This is good. Ready? Luke 2, 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy." That's the gospel, good tidings of great joy. That's what it ought to be to you. What it ought to be to me. If it's not, it's because it's all cotton picking fault. I'm not saying you just work something up, but my friend, this ought to make us shouting happy. Let me read you something I read before here. But I love this. This word is euangelion in the Greek. We get the word evangel from it. Evangelistic, stuff like that. It's good news. It's good news is what it is. The best news in the whole world. But I'm going to read you how the Greeks use this word. The secular Greeks use this word. Same word. I got this out of Kittle's dictionary. Not even necessarily Christians, but they're honest Greek scholars. And here's how this word was used in the Greek world. We get some idea of how we ought to rejoice, because they rejoiced for something a lot less than we should be rejoicing for. Now, let me read this to you. This came out of Kittle. This is a euangelion. It's a technical term for news of victory in battle especially. So I'm going to read to you an account that this Greek scholar gave. I don't know where the battle of Marathon or what it was. I forgot what it was. But anyway, it was one of the Greek battles they had won. Now think about this. Let's just think, you're a Greek, okay? You're a Greek. You're not a soldier. You're either a lady staying at home or you're some kid or some old man. You're at home. Your troops are fighting these other guys' troops. You know, in those days, if you lost a battle, it's bad, bad news. Because they're going to come home, enslave all the women, put them in their harem, make slaves out of all the kids, kill all the old men. You're pretty interested. Boy, I hope that's good news. I sure hope that's good news. I sure don't want any bad news. If we lose, we've had it. But let me tell you, going to hell is a lot worse than that, isn't it? Going to hell is a lot worse than that, isn't it? So this deliverance we're talking about is even much more profound than that kind of deliverance. But let me read to you this good news of victory and battle. Euangelion. I'll read to you. Ready? The messenger appeared. Okay, now we're waiting. Here comes the messenger. He's running. We've got bated breath waiting for him to come. The messenger appears. Raised his right hand in greeting and called out with a loud voice, "Kyrie, Nokomon." That means, rejoice, we've conquered. You know the Nike shoes you guys wear? That comes from the word, Greek word, conqueror. So get to running those things. Run like a conqueror. Nike. Now, Kyrie, hallelujah, rejoice, we've conquered. He hollers that before he gets there. By his appearance, it's not already he brings good news. He got a big grin on his face. He got a smile on his face. He's beaming. His face shines, his spear decked with laurel, his head is crowned, he swings a branch of palms. Joy fills the city. That's what all happens with Great Chapel every time we meet. Joy ought to fill the city of God. If we get a hold of the gospel, it will. If we ever get a hold of it, we will. Joy fills the city. Euangelia, that's sacrifices are offered. And we offer sacrifice when we come to church. Your very body, your songs, your giving money. Your very presence, your loving God, is sacrifice we bring to God. The temples are garland. And that gone is hell. A gone was like a contest. Maybe, you know, they had a big, like the Olympics. Crowns were put on for the sacrifices. We all put our crowns on. The one to whom the message is owed is honored with a wreath. Because of the message exerts himself to be first. If another arrives before him, his reward is less. A slow messenger can be punished for his dilatoriness, for he deprived the recipients of the good fortune. You want one of your preachers to be on fire for God Almighty. Let me read you a verse to talk about this kind of thing, shall I? This is how it ought to be. You pray for me here, because I can't do it without God. Nobody can. We need to pray for all of our preachers. They can do this. My friend, they got good news. Look over in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Look at this. Isaiah 52:7. That's talking about something like this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. There's your gospel. that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's how a preacher ought to be preaching. If you pray for them, they will. If you pray for them like you ought to, they will. God, Ephesians says that in chapter 6. And for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am ambassador, that there I may speak boldly, and ought to speak. My friend, when we come to church, it's a victory celebration. Do you believe that, or do you think we're just a club? Are we just another Kiwanis club? Is that all we are? Is this a Toastmaster thing where I just make a good talk? Y'all think it's pretty good? Or is this the Church of Jesus Christ where the gospel is preached? These truths shall stand the world on fire. Right, Patty? What Brother Holder used to say. If you lose every dime you've got today, big deal. I don't want to lose every dime I've got, but I tell you, compared with my friend, what I've got, big deal. If I got a bad bag like Claude Newton had, terrible thing, big deal to what he's over with now. You got cancer or something like that, I don't want it, but if it's there, really, when you get down to it, big deal, my friend, big deal, compared to this right here. Listen, true wealth, what you want. No wonder Paul said over there in Colossians chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Isn't that right? See, Richard, you ain't as strong as you used to be, but you still love God. Richard can't do that thing anymore like he used to, like that I'll kill myself. He just give me that thing. And how many times do you want me to do it? Jared, he did that. That's one of the big old deals. He can't do that anymore. But he loves Jesus Christ. He got it made. You may lose your strength. You young men are pretty strong. You won't always be strong. Ethan, you ain't going to be always strong. You're strong now. You beautiful women, y'all still pretty, but you're going to be kind of pretty wrinkled one of these days. My friend, the eyes don't work like they used to. The old ears don't work like they used to. But I tell you, we got something great coming one of these days. A glorified body with a purified soul. Bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, live in the, and think about that, about your heavenly home. It won't make you lazy, but it is happy while you're here on this world. It won't say Jeff and I got to go to work, but it say while he's at work, it'll sustain him, knowing that this ain't going to last forever when we have our problems. And God wants to stand through our problems even now because of the incarnation. Now let me read you a list a little bit more and we'll be through. The incarnation is the basis of the Christian religion. It's a fundamental article. And like I said earlier, if you don't believe in this, you can't claim to be a true Christian. And you mark that down, because many, many people today who claim to be Christian do not believe in the virgin birth. You check it out. The mainline denominations don't believe in the virgin birth anymore. That's the truth. Now, what's a mainline denomination? Some of the Presbyterians. I better not start naming names. But you look it up, their mainline denomination, they call them. Most of them are such liberals, they don't believe, my friend, in this precious scripture anymore. They think people like you and me are fools. That's the truth. We're ignorant fools. I've read a lot of that this week about that. They think we're just poor to be pitied. And the liberals in our country today that hate Christianity, they got a lot of people to be their apologists, or these, they go to liberal theologians and say, well, yeah, these fundamentalists are a bunch of nuts. They actually believe the Bible. Look at Roy Moore. They hated his guts because he believed the Bible was true, because he believed the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying anything about Roy Moore where I'm for him against him. I'm for him really in most ways. But the point I'm making is, the reason they hate his guts is he believes the Bible. That's the society you live in. But so be it. So be it. 1,000 times. So be it. One day, friends, one day, every knee is going to bow of things in heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ, this blessed one who is born in a virgin, is to the glory of, that every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ the Lord, right? The glory of God the Father. You go on the winning side. All right, let me read you why I say that now. Brother Zach, prove it to me. Let me read you 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, for if ye have heard it should come, even now it's also in the world, already in the world. Now I'm going to close with two or three scriptures. Okay, let's make a practical application, shall we? What effect should this have on my life? This doctrine we talked about this morning. We come to this wonderful season. Now, what effect did this doctrine have on my life? Well, I'm going to just read you four scriptures. It's real similar. Here's what we ought to do. I want you to do it. I hope you'll do it. I've asked God to help you do it. The devil doesn't want you to do it. He'll try to hinder you from doing it. You won't do it perfectly, but I hope you can do a lot of it. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." I hope you have great joy. Great joy as you listen to these good tidings. Luke 1, 46 and 47, like Mary did. We already read a lot about this stuff. Mary said, what did she say? "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." May that be our happy lot. Lord, have my soul magnify you. Have my spirit rejoicing in God my Savior. I've read all these. Luke 2, 13, 14. What about the angels? We see Mary. We see the people who heard the message. But what about the angels? What about the angels? Luke 2, 13, 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest. What about the shepherds? 2:20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard." Those old shepherds went home. They said, I bet that they had an old tough job, those sheep, but it was a lot easier after that, wasn't it? And my friend, when you can glorify God, a lot of y'all are going through some hard times. I know you are. Some of you go through some tough times. I know that. But my friend, this makes it easier, doesn't it? This makes it easier. I'll tell you what, I hate to quit, but I'm going to quit. Hallelujah. Half hadn't been told. I'm telling you, half hadn't been told.